Monica Ricks. It is still unclear what led a shooter to target the University of Nevada, Las Vegas today, injuring at least three people. But Adam Garcia with University Police Services says the threat is over.
We received a call of an active shooter event at 11:45 this morning. Officers immediately responded, engaged the suspect. The suspect at this point is deceased.
The shooting happened near the student union where people scrambled for safety.
It was definitely terrifying. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, well, I can't get out of the restroom. If I stay here, they could come in. I was like, oh, I just didn't know what to do.
Colleges and universities statewide are now closed. Prosecutors are considering possible hate crimes charges for a shooter accused of killing six people and injuring three others, including police officers, in Austin and San Antonio, Texas. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
The two police officers, one with the school district and the cyclist, are expected to be okay, but there are four cases now here in Austin, two in San Antonio. They all believe are connected, but authorities have not told us how they are linking these all together at this time.
Congress could vote soon on emergency aid for Ukraine. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says congressional Republicans must be willing to compromise on border security issues as a condition of approving aid to Ukraine. The stakes, he says, are just too high.
American boots would very much have to be involved if Mr. Putin is let to have this strategic victory in Ukraine and then perhaps goes after one of our NATO allies.
The GOP's fourth presidential primary debate starts in a few hours in Alabama, where just four candidates will take the stage without frontrunner Donald Trump. CBS's Robert Costas in Tuscaloosa.
Tonight, I'll be closely watching how Trump's rivals respond to his comments about not wanting to be a dictator except on day one. Will they shrug it off or grapple with it? I'll also be watching Haley and how she handles this moment. If she wants to consolidate that non-Trump vote, tonight could be crucial.
The Jeffersons creator Norman Lear has died at 101.
There's no reason why we have to look down on people.
Kevin Frazier's with Entertainment Tonight.
Norman Lear really was a change maker. Sure, he wrote television and he made great movies, but he also changed the way we thought. And that was an important thing. It's me.
And she is absolutely everywhere, which is why Time Magazine has picked Taylor Swift as its Person of the Year. Taylor's tour and concert movie have been huge, and she re-released two albums this year. She also started dating that guy on the Chiefs. This is CBS News.
The holiday season is right around the corner. Give the gift that's hard to wrap, but easy to give. Give them a steal. Visit your local steel dealer or go to steelusa.com/giftguide.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Republican electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced Wednesday. The fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College in 2024. It's the first time any fake electors from anywhere in the country are admitting to wrongdoing. Governor Evers signed 48 bills into law on Wednesday. Included in those bills are a slate of changes to voting ahead of next year's election. One of those bills changes the deadlines for clerks to send out absentee ballots. Another would require clerks to retain video footage of election night proceedings for 22 months. Evers also vetoed several election-related bills, including one that would change who could be declared indefinitely confined and another that would have lowered the cost of registered voting lists. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 28 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 46, lows around 33, tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
center field. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill. Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Now, here's your host, the voice of Badger Hockey, Brian Posick.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. I'm Brian Posick. Well, the Wisconsin men's hockey team is 12-4, 6-2 in the Big Ten, only 1 point behind first place Michigan State, with only 2 games left in the first semester. Last weekend at Kohl Center, the Badgers swept Ohio State, a 3-0 victory on Friday night when freshman defenseman Zach Scholes scored his first career goal. Christian Fitzgerald had a big goal about midway through the third. Cruz Lucius with an empty netter to seal the 3-0 victory. And Kyle McClellan, a 29-save shutout, his third shutout of the year. And then the following night, McClellan could have had a shutout. There was a goal scored by Ohio State that had the video replay system worked. It probably would have been nullified by offside. Nevertheless, the Badgers prevailed 6-1 with six different goal scorers on Saturday night. David Cilia, Owen Lindmark with a shorthander. Quinn Finley scores on a penalty shot. Simon Tassi with a power play goal. Cilia's was on the man advantage as well. Cruz Lucius, Jack Horvath, two. And Kyle McClellan, again, solid with 21 saves. So the Badgers are in excellent position with these 2 games left before the semester break. And head coach Mike Hastings joins us now on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. That was a good weekend for you.
Yeah, anytime. A lot of positives, some things that we took away from Friday and Saturday that we can add. We like our ability to utilize everybody on our bench on Saturday. I thought us having some depth scoring, getting back to scoring, getting the power play, and having our special teams really impact the game. Give Mac a little bit of support back there because at times we haven't been able to support him offensively as much as we did on Saturday. We can extend leads.
Well, Kyle McClellan, the number one star in the Big Ten this week, stopping 50 of 51 shots. He hasn't needed a lot of run support, so to speak. He's been the backbone for your club and allowed a lot of the young players in particular, but this was such a transition anyway, that allowed his teammates to kind of relax a little bit and let's keep it nothing-nothing or 1-0 or whatever the case may be.
But I think on Friday night, that was the one. But he allowed us to keep it at zeros and not one and done. There were a couple, 1, 2, and 3 that he kept out of the net and allowed us to get our feet underneath us a little bit. And so hopefully won't continue to rely upon that. But he has been our most consistent athlete night in, night out, week in, week out from the beginning of the season to where we're at now.
It's an amazing story. When this day of the season opener, he found out he was the starting goaltender. You didn't know until then, right?
Yeah, you know, and maybe that's a lack of perception of his head coach. You know, but I've grown in my respect for him, not just because he has been as successful as he has about keeping a puck out of the net, but really his dailies, going all the way back to his relationship with our nutritionist Grace and our strength coach Tommy and Inkrod and their ability to help him be prepared. And, you know, we haven't had an issue with him having to go back-to-back or playing the amount of games that he has because he's in really good shape. He's made the commitment. They've supported him, and he's put himself in a position night in, night out to be an impactful person for our program.
Yeah. I should ask, shouldn't all student-athletes here or anywhere else that has the ability or has the resources that they have here take advantage of those?
Well, and I think that's something that our group, really, you know, with the turnover that there was coming into the program, we had 12 new athletes, you know, 8 freshmen, 4 transfers, a perfect opportunity for a lot of quote unquote newbies to learn what is here at the university for them in a support, whether that's academically, training, nutritionally, mental health. And then there's a transition with a hockey staff that there's new for everybody. So it was great to see our guys get together and really embrace let's utilize what we have here at our disposal. And they've done a really good job with that. Mm-hmm. The guys are competing at a high level. But again, I want to make sure that there's credit where credit's due. And the support that we have here is at a completely different level.
Sure. Should mention about Kyle McClellan. He's got a 1.74 goals against average that leads the country and a .934 save percentage, which is second best in the country. College hockey, what's a good save percentage? I mean, you can look at goals against as one thing, but save percentage, that basically tells you how well the goaltender's seeing the puck.
You know what? I've been fortunate this season with Kyle, and then previously I've had some goaltenders that have gone through the program at MSU that I think consistently gave us an opportunity, a Hobie Baker Award winner and Dryden McKay. You know, I think you're getting to that special level when you're at 920 and above. If you can give your team, I've always thought, you know, if you're above 90%, you're giving your team an opportunity to be competitive. If you get to that 910, 920, you're really giving yourself an opportunity to be successful. And then when you're at that 920 and above, I think you're erasing a lot of mistakes that don't end up going on the scoreboard. And that can give your team a lot of confidence. That's what's happened this year, and hopefully that will continue.
Yeah, the Badgers have the number one ranked defense in the country, giving up less than 1.8 goals per game. Mike Hastings is with us here, and we were talking about Saturday, and the Badgers scored twice on the power play, a shorthander. There's a 4-on-4, there's a 5-on-5, and a penalty shot. You don't often see penalty shots. The Badgers hadn't had a converted penalty shot since Trent Frederick did so back in 2018, former Big Ten Rookie of the Year, now with the Boston Bruins. When you're awarded a penalty shot, is it a no-doubter that you're going to take the penalty shot, or do you take the power play?
For myself at that moment, you know, Quinn earned the opportunity, mm-hmm. and I think Quinn's somebody that plays with a lot of confidence. And so there was no hesitation. Yeah. We were in a spot during the game that we had a lead, and hopefully he was going to take advantage of that opportunity. He definitely mm-hmm. did. He wasn't a wilting flower. He was I think he would have probably chopped me in the shins if I would have said we're going to the power play instead of instead of giving him an opportunity on a penalty shot, and you saw what he did with it.
Had you earned a penalty shot when you were playing back in the day at St. Cloud State, would you have taken that penalty shot, or would your coaches have stepped up and said, oh, we'll take the power play?
Yeah, that... You know what? I'll leave that to them. But if they were as bright as I thought they were, they'd have taken the power play.
I mentioned Quinn Finley. Quinn Finley and William Whitelaw have both been invited by USA Hockey for their final training camp prior to the World Junior Championship, which will be held December 26th through January 5th in Gothenburg, Sweden. There will be a 25-man roster. 29 players have been invited to this camp, which starts next week. But for Quinn Finley and William Whitelaw, a chance to put on the USA sweater at one of the most prestigious international tournaments there are.
Yeah, it is. And what an honor for that opportunity. I will say this, John Van Biesbroek and just an unbelievable staff that has been compiled for this tournament. Opportunity for these guys to go show themselves. Watched during the World Junior Showcase this last summer, mm-hmm. not long after I was hired, and went and watched a few of our guys that were at that camp. And what these two young men have done from that camp up until this point to get the invitation is something that they need to feel incredibly good about. I don't know if they were in position at the end of that camp to be invited, but with the work that they've put in and some of the impact that they have had on our program up until this point, they've earned that opportunity. And when you have an opportunity to represent your country at, I think, one of the most influential, impactful, most watched tournaments in all of international hockey, that's something special. So I know they're focused on what's going on this weekend, but soon after that, they'll turn their focus to trying to make that team and go try and win gold.
Yeah. Mike, you've coached in the World Juniors before. There's a lot of pressure with this, too, not only on the coaching staff, but the young men that are there, and they're all under 20 years old.
Yeah, what an opportunity. And you can look at it one of two ways. Is it high pressure, or is it an unbelievable opportunity? And these two young guys, they don't wilt. They haven't wilted here. In fact, they play with a tremendous amount of confidence. They want more, not less. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a mentality that they're going to have at that camp if they want to earn a spot. Because USA Hockey has gone from in the past being a willing participant to being a program, a country that plays for gold every single year. That's going to be the expectation for David Carl and his staff. And every one of those players that have the opportunity to don that jersey are going to have the same goal in mind, which is to come back with gold.
Yeah. Good luck to Brett Larson, Steve Miller, the Sun Prairie native assistant coaches, David Lassan, a former assistant coach here, also taking care of the goaltenders. USA's number one goaltender, most likely Trey Augustine for Michigan State. And really the success started going with USA Hockey at the world junior level back when Mike Eaves led the United States to gold back in 2004, I believe it was. It really did start there. And ever since then, it's, you know, the U.S. has been meddling virtually every single year.
I remember that experience and the goal that was scored and the team that ended up winning gold and setting the bar where it is today. Mm-hmm. Was Mike, his staff, those athletes, where it took it from, again, being a participant and hoping to compete for gold to it being an expectation. The staff you just mentioned, I've had an opportunity to work with a lot of them. Like I told you before, you look at what David Carl's doing at Denver. USA Hockey has compiled a staff that's special, that is going to have an awful lot of talent and is going to have an opportunity to win gold. And so hopefully our two young men will have that opportunity, and we wish them nothing but the best when they get that opportunity and what they can do with it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Charlie Strammel not invited to the final camp. Charlie's been part of the World Junior Championship team each of the last 2 years, and I thought maybe Cruz Lucius was going to get a look. He's been part of USA Hockey, and he's having a fantastic start to his sophomore season.
You know what? I think Cruz has been one of our most influential players this season. He obviously has always had the offensive flair, the ability to play with the puck. What I've been most impressed with is his willingness to compete without the puck. And he has really rounded out his game and allowed us as a staff to put him in situations to play major minutes and make big impacts on our team Monday through Thursday, not just Friday and Saturday. So I'm really excited about the game that he is playing right now for us, for himself, because I think he's progressing as a hockey player and as a human being.
All right. Well, more about the World Juniors, too. There are 11 Big Ten hockey players going for that USA camp. That just goes to show the level of talent in this league that you face each and every weekend.
Yeah, you know what? Year in and year out, when you start talking about players that, whether you're talking the first round of the NHL draft, the second round of the NHL draft, watching what the Big Ten did a year ago in the first round of the NCAA tournament, there's an awful lot of talent sprinkled throughout this small number of teams in the Big Ten, but the impact of what that talent has had, not only on our weeklies when we're playing within the league, but I think you're seeing a light being shown on a group that are going to have a future well beyond playing in the Big Ten.
Yeah. You can watch the World Junior Championship again December 26th through January 5th on the NHL Network. We'll have more with Mike Hastings in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics. While players need peace of mind to succeed in their sport, seniors and their families find peace of mind at Oak Park Place through the right balance of care and independence. Hi, this is Pat Richter for Oak Park Place. Choose a senior living community with neighbors that become like family. Enjoy the comforts of your apartment with an abundance of events just outside your door. Visit oakparkplace.com to learn more. Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics.
The countdown to savings is on at Clary Building Corp. Get the best prices of the year right now at any Clary location, or contact us for a free consultation on the building you have been dreaming about. Clary has a building for every stage of your life. Visit clarybuilding.com today to see all of the amazing building options we offer. Don't let the clock run out for big savings.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
In ice hockey, every move matters. Perfect deflections and redirects. Quick releases. Optimal shot angles. One misstep can cost you more than just the goal. That's when athletes turn to UW Health. From a dislocation in a body check to muscle pulls from a quick pivot, our sports medicine doctors deliver game-changing care with precision and perfection for every injury. No matter the complexity, UW Health is your go-to team to get you back on the ice in no time. UW Health. Remarkable.
The Wisconsin women's hockey team wraps up the first half of the season this weekend at Minnesota. Number 3 Badgers, number 2 Gophers, Friday night at 6, Saturday at 2 o'clock. And head coach Mark Johnson will join us here in just a bit. We're also going to talk with freshman forward William Whitelaw, who hopes to make that United States World Junior Championship team. But Mike Hastings with us here for a couple of more minutes. And, you know, last weekend it was goalie night here at the University of Wisconsin. Bill Howard dropped the ceremonial first puck. You saw all sorts of former goaltenders here. Their old masks too, which were hilarious to look at, and you can't believe, you know, there was a point in time in hockey, and many of you know it, maybe some of you don't, the goalies didn't wear masks, but in those times there were no curved blades on sticks, and those sticks were made of wood, not composite. It's an entirely different animal these days.
Yeah, you know, referencing last weekend, to see Billy and him being his element, right, with a bunch of other goaltenders, Brian Elliott, you know, and going up, well, our staff went up and saw him in their suite before the game. It's a unique group, as you know. but to see, you know, Mr. Howard in his element and be recognized, you know, you and I have talked about it multiple times, the idea of what my perception was of goaltending here at the University of Wisconsin when I was growing up and watching throughout the years, all the way through the group that's been in here recently. It was goaltender U. You know, the amount of quality goaltenders that have come and had professional careers, but also All-American careers. It's a special place for goalies, and it was great to see them recognized in the way that they were.
When you're out recruiting, can you still use that sense of what this program used to be as far as goaltenders are concerned?
I think any time that you can turn a light on history and have the success that has been here before, we're also going to, you know, incorporate that with what Kyle McClellan's doing right now and the impact that, you know, Doc has had on our goaltenders up at this time. But yes, I think you can utilize that. We'd be foolish not to.
Certainly. Also, I wanted to remind people that Friday night, Bill Howard, along with Paul Brown, reunited on the radio to call the play-by-play of Wisconsin's matchup with Penn State. Pregame at 7:30, and then the puck drops at 8 o'clock. And I'm hoping we get all the commercials in for our clients' sake, because those two will be yammering it up. I mean, they've known each other forever. Paul Brown took over for Bob Miller, who went on to the LA Kings. Bob Johnson hired Paul Brown to be the radio play-by-play voice of Badger hockey in 1973. So this would be 50 years. And he called play-by-play for 41 years, Paul did. And oftentimes, and they did it simulcasting too, on the radio, on WIBA in Madison, and then also on Wisconsin Public Television. And Bill was also working as an assistant coach, and he was the eyes in the sky, radioing down to the bench to let them know what he sees from whatever perspective, penalty care, whatever the case may be. And he had a switch on his headset, and he would have to switch to
talking to the coaching staff, Mike Kemp at the time or whomever, and then he'd have to switch back so he could go on the air. He never once made a mistake and gave the coach speak on the air. But they've worked together for a long time, and a lot of people think they don't like each other because Bill is kind of cantankerous, a little edgy, the Prince of Darkness, they call him. But they love each other. They respect each other. And you know, a small part of what Badger hockey has become, and you've had a chance to get to know them here a little bit too.
It's been incredibly entertaining for me because it gives one, Billy's going to tell you the way it is. And actually from being an older guy now and being around it, I'm okay with that.
Yes,
you know, that's something I actually enjoy because it's hard to come across. And then, you know, when you start talking about an ability to give the game life without having to witness it and to do it for the amount of time and for those two to get together, I look forward to plugging in the play-by-play and the commentary after the game because I think it's going to be incredibly entertaining because you're going to hear a little bit about what's going on, get some opinions on what maybe should be done and isn't being done. But the one thing that you will see is sometimes to understand where you're going, you have to understand where you've been. Mm-hmm. And those two individuals have helped, you know, put down some bricks that we're continuing to walk on as a program. So appreciate them coming back, doing what they're doing, and hopefully we can all enjoy a Saturday or a Friday night and let them tell the story as it unfolds.
Yeah, and Paul is so very excited, but I said be ready because Penn State comes out firing. So Wisconsin and Penn State meet Friday night at 8, Saturday at 7 o'clock. The Nittany Lions are a club that right now is, they came off a split against Minnesota. Their record is 9-5. And three. They're 500 in Big Ten play. They lost their top four scorers from a year ago, but they have most of their defensive core back, both of their goaltenders as well, and they've added some pretty good pieces up front. This is a team that really gets up and goes, and you have to be ready for that.
Well, you know, year in and year out from the time that Penn State came into the Big Ten, on a consistent basis, they've led the country in shots on net. It's no different this year. They're clicking along in a power play because they're a shot-first mentality, just like they are 5-on-5. And so our ability to limit, you know, one-and-dones and make sure that there's not a second, a third, a fourth, they're going to attack the net. We're going to have to be on our toes and be at our best. Now, the best way to play defense is having the puck. And so we're going to have to try and possess it as much as we can and make sure we get off to good starts and not play from behind a quality team like Penn State.
Yeah, there's a young man that plays for the Nittany Lions, Aiden Fink, who originally committed to the University of Wisconsin. He actually leads the Big Ten in scoring right now. Fink's 9 goals, 22 points. He's got 54 shots on goal. He's plus 10. He's got 3 power plays. He plays in virtually every situation. He's a talented young man. I know a lot of Badger fans were hoping he was going to land here.
I was too. I was too. Tried to talk him into that. And, you know, with the coaching change, he was looking to go elsewhere. And I think he's an incredibly talented young man and has had an impact on that program really like no other that I can see in the Big Ten at this moment. And so we're going to have to be aware when he's on the rink as well as some others.
Yeah. And it's also getting close to final exams. These are the final two games of the first half. Then you get a few weeks off or a couple of weeks off before the Quick Trip holiday face-off in Milwaukee. So you've done so much. You've built such a good resume so far. Build on a little bit more here before you hit that break, right?
Yeah, and we're relying upon our leadership group to go and make sure that we've, as we have from the beginning of September, those guys have done a great job in making sure our group stays on their dailies. And so far, where we're at this week, they've done a really good job, and we're going to continue that and rely upon them to carry us into Friday. And hopefully for those people that come out and watch us play, we give them something to cheer about early in that game, because I've really found that the Kohl Center can be a kind place to call home when you do things the right way. So our job's got to be the people that come in. We've got to get them going as quick as possible.
All right, that's Mike Hastings. Again, Wisconsin and Penn State, Friday night at 8, Saturday at 7 o'clock on the Badger Sports Network and the Varsity Network app. More to come in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Bananas.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Finds Klesman left corner. He'll try a three. Good. Max Klesman is not shy here today.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Good taste to Klesman. Another three on the way. Good again. Takes the three left corner. He nailed it again. Max Klesman on fire. Timeout. Shaka Smart. Slips to Iguodaro. Bobbled it. Turnover. Here comes Hepburn. 2-on-1. Hestor to his right. The lob. The dunk. Hepburn to A.J. Storr for the flush, and the Badgers lead by 15.
Runs at the wall, rotates to Storr, baseline left. Here's A.J. goes up, slam dunk, count it, and a foul. And the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison. On a day where the home team never trailed, the Badgers win it by 11.
On Wisconsin.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 28 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 46, lows around 33. Tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As we head into the final weekend of the first semester, 7th-ranked Michigan State sits on top of the Big Ten standings with 19 points. The 6th-ranked Badgers are just 1 point back. Number 20 Notre Dame is in third place, 4 points off the pace. Minnesota is 6 points back, then Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State. This weekend, the Spartans host the Fighting Irish. The 10th-ranked Gophers visit the Buckeyes. Michigan is idle. Well, there's a good chance freshman William Whitelaw will play for the USA in the World Junior Championship later this month. I caught up with William after practice today.
First off, congratulations. You and Quinn Finley have been named to the USA's preliminary roster for the World Junior Championship. That'll be played starting December 26th in Gothenburg, Sweden. You've played for USA Hockey before, but this is quite a thrill. This is quite a tournament, too.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think it's a tournament you grew up watching on TV as a kid over Christmas, and to get an opportunity to make the teams super exciting and special, and me and Quinn are going to try to make the most of it.
Yeah. You were part of the training camp early, too, to kind of set the stage here. Take us back to what that was like this summer when you worked with USA Hockey.
Yeah, no, it was super cool. Obviously, I played in the USHL last year, and being able to go and skate with all the kids who played college hockey last year kind of gives you a taste of what college hockey is going to be like, fast, skilled, and hard. And it was just cool to play with all those different kids from different colleges and be able to play against the other countries, too.
Yeah. When you think about, I mean, there's 11 players, I believe, from the Big Ten that will be at this this camp before the final roster is named. Like, well, hopefully Rutger McGroarty can make it if he's healthy enough. But Gavin Brindley, Isaac Howard, Jimmy Snuggerud, Seamus Casey, Ryan Chesley, Trey Augustine, Michigan State's goaltender, Sam Renzel, Patrick Geary, all guys you've played against before. But now you get to play with them. I mean, you can form new relationships that way, right?
Yeah, no, I know a lot of those kids off from before, too, like growing up playing with them. Like, I played with Chesley at Shattuck, same with Howard. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of cool to see those guys going to camp. I mean, obviously, the Big Ten's pretty special. It's not a mistake that 11 guys are going from the Big Ten. So,
yeah. What's it like when you've played with guys before and then you go against them now in the Big Ten? I mean, what is that like?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of crazy, like, playing with those two guys when I was 14 years old and training with them and stuff like that. And then going and now playing against them, it's pretty cool. It's a cool experience. But, it's fun to beat him all the time, too. So,
William Whitelaw is with us. Won a Clark Cup championship with Youngstown in the USHL last year. What a fun ride that must have been.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. I mean, we had a great group of guys, and it was a super fun experience. And to end the season on a win, there's nothing better than that. So.
Yeah, and you had committed to the University of Wisconsin when Tony Granato was head coach, and then the coaching change was made. What was that like for you from the end of last season prior to coming here? And any thoughts that maybe I go elsewhere, because you know how things work these days?
Yeah, no, for sure. Obviously, there's a bunch of noise coming on that I was going to leave or so what. But when Tony lost the job, he gave me a call and he was like, hey, he goes, I want you to still be a Badger. He goes, whoever they're going to find is going to be a great coach, and he's going to want what's best for you. So there's no reason to leave. Wisconsin's the best place to play college hockey. And Coach Hastings got the job and he was great. I mean, he came to Youngstown within a week of him having the job, and we had a chat and stuff like that, and it's been a great fit so far. Coach Hastings is a very good coach, and a lot of great resources here and great people, so I made my decision to stay here pretty easy.
Yeah. It's quite a transition, though, USHL to Big Ten to being a student at the University of Wisconsin, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's surreal for sure. It's there's nothing better than being able to go to the rink every day with your buddies, same with, like, I've had my whole life. Just playing with your best friends every day is pretty cool. So the guys have been great. Everyone's been great. So it's just been super good. And they made the transition pretty easy for me.
Yeah. And you're winning, too.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously helps. There's nothing better than winning.
That's UW freshman William Whitelaw. Stay tuned. Mark Johnson is up next on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey, Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
In ice hockey, every move matters. Perfect deflections and redirects. quick releases, optimal shot angles. One misstep can cost you more than just the gold. That's when athletes turn to UW Health. From a dislocation in a body check to muscle pulls from a quick pivot, our sports medicine doctors deliver game-changing care with precision and perfection for every injury. No matter the complexity, UW Health is your go-to team to get you back on the ice in no time. UW Health. Remarkable.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, the Wisconsin women's hockey team wraps up the first half of the season this weekend at Minnesota, Friday at 6 o'clock, Saturday at 2 o'clock. The third-ranked Gophers have won 8 in a row. As we record this segment on Tuesday afternoon, the Gophers actually played Tuesday night at St. Cloud State, but they're on a roll under head coach Brad Frost. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin women coming off a split at home against 6th-ranked Minnesota Duluth, a 3-0 win on Saturday, and then a 3-2 loss on Sunday in a penalty-filled game. Head coach Mark Johnson now joins us here on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. And Duluth's good. You give them credit. They really do a nice job defensively as well. They came away with a win on Sunday. But Saturday, your club played really well. You didn't play poorly on Sunday either, did you?
No, actually, over the six periods, the first period Saturday was probably our weakest, just because we knew Duluth was going to come in. They just played Colgate at home. Won a game and tied a game against the second-ranked team in the country at that time, so their confidence was going to be high. They always come in with a little bit of a swagger. They've got two very good goaltenders. As you mentioned, they defend well. Mm-hmm. And so in order to get some goals on them, you have to go in the dirty areas. You got to be willing to go muck it up, and, might go off your shin pad, might go off your chest. Some nights the goals don't have to be pretty. Mm-hmm. And so you look at our first couple goals on Saturday, and that's what they were. They're scrumming from the net, and, Kelly was able to whack it in. And then Britta, on the third whack, gets a puck in that dirty area and was able to score. And overall, we played well. We got up to pace the first part of the first period, and then the last 40, 50 minutes, we were pretty good. And Saturday, as you mentioned, I can never know what the script's going to look like. I wish I had a crystal ball, and you can say, okay, this game's going to look like this, or it's going to look like this. But, I looked down at my notes at the media timeout, which comes at 10 minutes of each period, and already there's been 5 penalties called, 3 on Duluth and 2 on us, and we could have been up 2-0 easily, and Duluth could have been up 2-0 easily, because they had a 5-on-3 against us for a minute 40, and we were able to withstand it. And during the media timeout, I told the team, hey, this is what the script looks like today. I says, we're going to play 5-on-5 hopefully for a while now. Let's get into rhythm, get everybody involved in the game. And so from a coaching standpoint, it becomes challenging, not only for myself, but for the Duluth staff, because if you weren't on special teams, if you weren't killing penalties or on the power play, you weren't getting a lot of ice time that first 10 minutes. And so from a player standpoint, you want to get into the game early. And unfortunately, that was what the game looked like. And, then it was, a knit and tuck. And, we had a lot of good looks Sunday. Weren't able to capitalize. So, at some nights and some days, you have to tip your hat to the other team's goaltender, who played very well against us. We had, in the 40s for a number of shots. We had 6 power plays. I think we had 17 or 18 shots on our power play. So it wasn't like the power play was ugly. We had in zone time for most of them. We just couldn't get the puck by her. And they were able to get a couple goals, to get up 2-0. We got back at 2-1, got some life. And then, they get a bounce and make it 3-1. And you 6-on-4 at the end, you still have a chance, but again, you have some nights you have to tip your hats off to the goaltender. As you mentioned, they defend really well, and the goalie's playing well. It's tough to score against them, as Colgate found out the weekend before. I mean, it took them on the, you know, 1 minute to go in the second night in the third period to get their first goal.
Wow.
They got shut out the first night, and Colgate's got a very good team. And then the second night, you know, they have to pull their goalie in order to get a goal to tie the game. So, it's one of those things, and as most games that we play, in the last four we've played, we're learning more about ourselves and moving forward. And again, you know, going up to Minnesota, who's won a bunch of games in a row, I think they're ranked second now. It'll be a good test for us.
Yeah. Haley McLeod is the goaltender for Duluth that stopped 42 shots on Sunday in the Badgers' loss. Cassie Hall and Casey O'Brien both scored that night. Kelly Gorbatenko, Britta Curl, and Lacey Eden scored on Saturday, while Jane Gervais pitched the shutout in Wisconsin's 3-0 victory. And, you know, you're still rotating your goaltenders, too. Jane Gervais and Ava McNaughton, the freshman. And that's okay. I mean, competition's good for everybody, right?
Well, and again, games provide learning opportunities, you know, for the players and most importantly for the coaches as we put kids into different situations. So we've split the goalies. Probably going to do it again this weekend up in Minnesota unless there's an injury either night. And so we find out more about Jane and how she's able to do. Played very well, got us a shutout, was very good early in the game, stopped a breakaway. We were on a penalty kill a minute into the game. She did a nice job making a couple nice saves. That's what you're looking for. Give us a chance to win. And so she pitched a nice shutout. And then Ava, you know, played well. 5-on-3, you know, halfway through the first period. And she's making some nice saves. And, you know, if she had things back, she'd probably, you know, control her rebounds on a couple of plays. And, you know, it's a tic-tac-toe play where I shoot the puck off the goalie's pad and it pops right out to hopefully your player and she can put it in the net. And that happened a couple of times in the game Sunday. So learning opportunity for her and, you know, similar to what we had down in Ohio State, now going up to Minnesota, playing against a confident team that scored a lot of goals last weekend. We ask our goalies, give us a chance to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, Wisconsin at Minnesota Friday night and then Saturday afternoon. Mark Johnson with us here on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. You know, your schedule has been a little discombobulated. A couple of bye weeks, you know, prior to Ohio State, you go down there and lose a couple. You have a bye week. You split with Minnesota Duluth. You know, you've lost 3 of 4, but I hearken back to last year when your club lost 5 in a row at one point and everybody thought the world was falling apart. This is part of, you know, coaches say process, journey, but that's what this is right now.
Yeah, that's why we play the games. Is the whole key is to learn about your team, learn about your individual players, work on it during the week of practice, try to get better, make improvements. And, you know, similar to last year when we went through that stretch in January, who are you playing? Well, we were playing at Quinnipiac, the number 2 or 3 team in the country. We had Duluth, who was a top 5 team. You know, you throw Ohio State in there and Minnesota. I mean, if you get clumped together in your schedule where you're playing all these teams on consecutive weekends, there's going to be some bumps in the road. But the most important thing as a team, you have to learn about those things. So when you get them the next time, you're a little bit better prepared. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit more focused and your efforts a little bit more than it was in the games that you may have given away or you've lost.
Sure. You know, it's a busy time. You're wrapping up the first half of the season. You know, and the student athletes are getting ready for final exams and all that stuff. And a number of your players are taking part in the rivalry series, too. So there's a lot going on in their minds right now, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and we're coming in one of our bye weekends. You know, a handful of them went out to, you know, Arizona and California, and this time of year it wouldn't be a bad place to visit. They got a chance to play a couple games, and when the weather was warm. And so there's things going on in their mind. And then when we finish up Friday and Saturday in Minneapolis, we'll come back after the game Saturday, and those kids and more of them now with you know, Sims and Wilgren also joining that group that went out to California. So they'll all, you know, get on a plane Sunday morning and go up for a week and participate in that. So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on. And then you throw school in there. Oh, yeah, they're students, so they got to take care of their classrooms. So, you know, again, it's all this process we talk about as coaches, and you learn as you go. And every game, whether you've played well or maybe you haven't played well or maybe you've played well for half of it, you're always learning about your team. And as coaches, our job is to bring them back to that next practice and try to make them better. And so if you're consistent in that and you don't get really crazy. So, you know, last year, if you lose 5 games in a row, you're looking at, you know, what are we doing well? Mm-hmm. What aren't we doing well? And the next day, what do we need to do better? So, you know, as we practice this week, we had to take Monday off. And so as we practice Tuesday, as we're talking today, what do we need to do to get better? You reflect on what your 2 games look like against Duluth, and there's always something you can work on. And so that's what we do today and get ourselves organized on Wednesday, you know, head up to to Ritter on Thursday and get ready for the Gophers Friday night.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Minnesota is
ranked second in the country. Wisconsin's third this week, but the Gophers are 13-2. They're averaging, well, four goals per game, a little bit more than that. Their power plays at about 41%. Their penalty kills 95%. You know, for the last 5 years, when you talk about Wisconsin, Minnesota, and women's hockey, Taylor Heise would come up, Grace Umwinkle, Abigail Barine, Katie Skaya. They're not there anymore, but they still have a lot of good players. And Abby Murphy, number one on the list. She's got 19 goals and 31 points already. She's a U.S. Olympian. She is a tough cookie to play against, and I think the rest of the team feeds off the way she plays. Would you agree?
Yeah, she's an elite player. I mean, if you look at the whole landscape of college hockey on the women's side and internationally with the different teams that represent, you know, groups that go to the Olympics, you know, she's up there in your top two, three, four, five players just because she skates so well. I mean, she understands the game, but her speed is what really causes problems for other teams. And so she can get the puck and she can skate around people. And then she has, as you mentioned, she's got 19 goals and she can score goals. And so it makes her power play better, helps with their penalty killing. And then when they need a goal 5-on-5 and she's on the ice, she's got a chance to do that every shift just because of her speed. So she's a threat, and, you know, obviously they're going to have last change up there. And so our defensemen just have to be aware of her. And then when she does get her opportunities, then you're asking your goaltender to make some saves.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you offend somebody like Abby Murphy or Connor McDavid or somebody that can fly up and down the ice? That's easier said than done, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, go a period or two periods or maybe, you know, 50 minutes, and then all of a sudden here comes Connor McDavid flying down. It goes right by the bench 100 miles an hour, snaps one in. That we did pretty good for 50 minutes. And so, you know, we just as a defenseman, you just have to be aware of that. You know, she's a right winger. She plays that 95% of the time. And so what she does on the power play, where she's going. But again, if you have somebody that has that type of speed, so if you watch Edmonton play and all of a sudden McDavid gets a puck in certain spots of the ice, it's just challenging. It's difficult. And so you have to be on your toes. You have to be aware when she's on the ice. And then you just have to be able to play one-on-ones really well.
Sure. Finally for you, this being the last weekend of the first half, you'll be back in January to resume play. But hitting the halfway point, are there some areas right now where you're thinking, okay, we really need to shore this up so that we can make a run, you know, come February and March?
Well, I'm just hoping, you know, we stay healthy for a period of time. And so the break gives you a chance to do that. Claire Enright's looking like she's getting closer to coming back. And so hopefully sometime in January she'll be available. But, that's a big issue, you know. So if your top players get injured and they're out for 4, 5, 6 weeks, it just changes things. Yeah. And what I found out this year, what it's changed the most is our practice. So we've had a difficult time practicing with a full group, which is a challenge for the coaching staff because there's certain things you can't work on a regular basis if you have four lines out there. So my big, you know, wish from Santa is like, let's stay healthy. Let's have a full roster for practices. So, you know, during our practices, we can work on some of the things that are necessary for the second half. And so, again, it's a schedule. We didn't play a game in November in our own barn.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just the way it works out sometimes. And so I'm excited to go up to Minnesota. I mean, for 20 years, we've been doing this, 20 plus years, and they're always good games. They're entertaining, a bunch go into overtimes. And again, learn more about ourselves. And then we get this 3-week period to relax, enjoy family, come back and start our second half. And you well know, because your daughter played here, the second half goes by pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, pay attention. We get 3 weeks where we don't have school after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a good time to dive into some of the things that we've seen in the first half that we like, but more importantly, some of the things that we need to continue to work on. We can spend that 3 or 4 weeks really honing it in, get into February, and then you're pushing. You're pushing for the playoffs, and you're pushing for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I hope Santa's listening. I'd like to see your club stay healthy, and I should ask you one more question. KK Harvey, Caroline Harvey, outstanding defenseman, the player of the year in USA Hockey last year. She was out since October, but she returned against Minnesota Duluth, had a couple of assists in the opening game against the Bulldogs. How did she look, and I guess more importantly, how's she feeling after playing following that injury?
Yeah, that was a big question. She played, you know, in the mid 20 minutes, you know, Saturday, which was more than we probably thought we wanted to play her, but just the way the nature of the game was going, and she played well. And my concern was, you know, you're going to wake up Sunday and you're probably going to be a little sore. But when I talked to her Sunday morning, yeah, she was a little sore, but she felt good. She had recovered well. She takes care of herself really well. And again, she played a chunk and, you know, hit a couple crossbars. far as in Sunday's game, and it was good to have her back. Obviously, she's a dynamic player. She brings energy to the ice, and obviously when she's on the ice, we're a much better team. And so, again, it's two opportunities, two experiences for her. Now she's in better game shape than she was prior to our Duluth series, so that bolts well for us going into games up in Minneapolis.
All right. That's Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson. I'd like to thank him for his time. Again, the Badgers close out the first half this weekend at Minnesota, Friday at 6 o'clock and then Saturday at 2 o'clock. We'll be back to wrap things up in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Maybe you're...
'Tis the season to satisfy your sweet tooth. Join West Grand Quality Foods this Saturday for the most delightful event of the year, the Holiday Cookie Walk. A winter wonderland of delicious cookies and sweets, beautifully arranged for you to stroll through and pick your favorites. Join Quality Foods at the West Grand location only this Saturday from 10 until 2 for a festive stroll of holiday sweetness. The Holiday Cookie Walk, where every step is a bit of delight. Get more details at qualityfoodswistrapids.com.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy, and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together. Bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya. From sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo. We learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Hey fans, Saturday night at the Kohl Center, the University of Wisconsin will once again partner with the United States Marine Corps and the Toys for Tots campaign to put smiles on the faces of underprivileged children this Christmas. It's the Badgers' annual Teddy Bear Toss. Bring a new stuffed animal to the Kohl Center Saturday night and toss them on the ice after the game. You can also buy teddy bears at Bucky's Locker Room. It's Wisconsin and Penn State this weekend. Friday night, we're thrilled to have legendary Badger hockey announcer Paul Brown call the action with his longtime former broadcast partner, Bill Howard. Coverage starts at 7:30 with face-off at 8. Saturday's finale starts at 7 with pregame at 6:30 on the Badger Sports Network and the Varsity Network app. Thanks to Mike Hastings, William Whitelaw, Mark Johnson, and producer-engineer Dave McCann. I'm Brian Posick. Thanks for listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 28 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 46. Tomorrow night, lows around 33. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup late edition.